Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to The Tactical Traveler, the podcast where adventure meets precision and the journey is just as important as the destination. Bringing you the inside scoop on the most thrilling and efficient travel experiences. Each episode, we'll dive into the art of travel, from navigating off the beaten path destinations to mastering the art of packing like a pro. So buckle up, get your compass ready, and let's embark on a new adventure with Tactical Traveler. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Welcome to the Tactical Traveler. I have a really special guest for you guys today that I'm actually super excited about for a number of reasons. If you haven't figured it out by now, one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast is to interview people with great stories all across the world, but it's really also to encourage you to become your own boss so that you have the time and money freedom to travel the world. And our guest today has made that her life mission. And out of everybody I've talked to so far, she seems to be an expert. So I'd love to welcome Andrea over into the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm reading here in your bio, and just to give people a kind of sense of what kind of boss lady you are, because it's pretty crazy. You're an 11-year U.S. Army vet, so thank you for your service. You're an entrepreneur. You started your own restaurant. You own a Baskin and Robbins. You have a consulting firm. You have a travel agency. You've got four daughters, which out of everything so far, I'm not sure about that one. The rest of everything is like really great. Four daughters makes you like on God status. I got three boys and they're pretty easy. My daughter is rough. Mm-hmm. And then you also had a kidney transplant. It's like, and you're a doctorate? You got a PhD?
I'm a PhD candidate. So yes, that's right. In psychology, clinical psychology, which means that I'm eligible to become and continue those studies. So I got accepted in doctorate program. Yes.
What don't you do?
Oh my goodness. Well, John, I mean, everything you mentioned, yes, thank you for all the compliments. This journey that has led me to these accomplishments has been all for knowledge seeking. So as I'm seeking more information to accomplish goals, it has led me to different routes, and that's how I've been able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are, to accomplish all those things is pretty amazing to me. But one of the things that I love is that through talking with you, you had this intense desire to travel, but you didn't see initially the financial ability to do that or the time freedom to do that. So I guess out of that, there's a couple of questions. I mean, what was it that inspired you to start traveling more? And then we'll dig into the business side.
Yeah, so traveling just seemed like this big, amazing sign of freedom and adventure to me. Starting very young, and you know, it doesn't have to be a hunger that starts young, but for me it did. And part of it was this dual sort of life I had as a youngster. Growing up in the U.S., I was a first generation American, and when my mom came here, we would still travel. She's from Mexico, and we were born and raised here. We would still travel back to Mexico often, 4 months out of the year, me and my siblings. And the dual life I'm talking about is in the U.S., later I realized how really humble beginnings I was being raised in, and how much my mom struggled, and she worked in restaurants, so in Southern California with 5 children. So that tells you a bit of the struggle. But in Mexico, there were many entrepreneurs, and all my family, you know, were professionals in different industries. And there, though, when we went to visit, we were sort of like the rich U.S. kids, you know. So the abundance mindset, the travel mindset, the that duality really formed me early on, and gave me that hunger to keep exploring the world and truly look into how that is, that happens, where I would go back home and think, I don't really know how we're so wealthy, quote unquote. But then when I would go to Mexico, I would see their levels of success as a way of wealth. So yeah, that hunger started very young because of that.
Yeah. Now let's dive in for a little bit into the Army for you. You had the unfortunate pleasure of being in the 82nd, I think it was, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, I apologize. Not everywhere in the Army can be great, but, you know, the 82nd isn't bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know a lot of veterans that listen. They'll all get a kick out of it. So, except for the people from the 82nd, like my cousin.
That's right. Airborne all the way. Yeah. So right. The pleasure of being 82nd. So the thing with 82nd is that, you know, going back to travel, that fueled it more. It was very restrictive when I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. We already are military and veteran wise, for those who don't have that background or aren't veterans. We already have many restrictions, including with travel, mile radiuses, doing safety checks, requesting permission through your command team. But in 82nd, the pleasure that we had there is it's a highly disciplined and even more regulated unit in the Army, because it's mobilized within 48 hours, and that's how it's always been. So yeah, you have to be ready to go. You have to be ready to go, so you're constantly training. Yeah, that's the pleasure of being in the 82nd. And it totally formed me. I joined the Army. I joined at 16 and left at 17. And so I got to 82nd right before my 18th birthday, after all my training. And I didn't know anything different until I started in the Guard and I got stationed in New York City and other places. But I realized, whoa, there's like a whole different Army world there that I was exposed to.
Yeah. Now, how did you get into the military at 16?
Yeah, so I knew I wanted to join the Army. I had seen, which I was too young to watch it now that I think about it, but everyone knows G.I. Jane and other things, that I realized, whoa, like women can do that. And yeah, I just really... It was an adventure I really looked into. I was very naive, though. I thought that, one, I didn't think we got paid. I'll tell you that. I also thought everybody was like skilled in all. Like, I thought they were skilled in everything. Like, I thought everybody was a pilot. Everybody was a paratrooper. Everybody was infantry. Like, and also all the other tasks. I didn't know until later that that's not how it worked.
That's funny.
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to go and fly and jump out and do all these missions. And I just thought that no one plays, you know, Navy, they play Army. So,
right. Now, you know, one of the things that as we were talking is that you went back to Mexico often, and in your family, you were telling me about just kind of like the situation that your family was in, and how if they really wanted to make any money, they had to be entrepreneurs. Could you share that with the people that are listening today, and just kind of explain what you were seeing and how that really impacted your life and the direction that you would end up taking.
Yes, when you go, and this has proven to be true even in other countries that I've seen, right? There's mom and pop shops everywhere, and you realize that what we have here is the opportunity to open all these businesses, and you can continue your career and grow, and your income brackets start growing, and you can make a career choice that is lucrative, and or you can be an entrepreneur and do that. But what made me reflect is, so my uncle, who's currently a politician in Mexico still, also owned 3 different businesses in different industries, to include like auto and other ones. And so my whole family worked for him, my cousins, all the males. And then my other uncle, he majored in accounting, met his wife. She was also an accountant, and they opened their own firm. And so all these experiences, lastly, even being my grandpa, who opened many brick and mortars across the border, because that's where my family's from, like we go there, made me realize later that theirs was out of necessity. Like, they didn't have an option to be an accountant and then make great living for their family by joining a firm. They had to make their own way. And the same with my grandpa and uncle. Like, my uncle, yes, was a politician, very educated, knows a lot of things, but to really sustain a certain lifestyle and help the rest of the family, and we have a large family, not just his immediate extended, he had to make those opportunities. So you see that a lot. Even now, as I do travels, it really shaped me, because you see how people's need for it is there versus just having the option, almost, you know, like we have here in the US.
Okay. So, you know, that helped formed some of your like deeper thinking on having a side hustle. And even when you were doing your 11-year stint in the Army, were you doing side businesses? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, I was doing that. Even initially, I would just start. The very first thing I did, so as soon as I got to 82nd, was enroll in school. I enrolled in business courses, because I knew the very first one was small business management, and the next, and accounting. So I knew that that was the route I was going, and I didn't have the tools to get there because there were 0 entrepreneurs in the US, right? I would only be able to get that knowledge if I asked my family in Mexico and go to Mexico. So I needed to know how to do it here. When I was in the Army, yeah, I started to do a kennel business, a concierge business, which was the concierge side was more like a paperwork administrative task for other people outside. And I even build knowledge on tax preparation, which I was financed in the Army, so we could volunteer at the tax center. I don't even know if everybody knew that, but you could. And as soon as I got that skill, I started preparing taxes. So it was an ongoing experience because I knew I wanted to go that route.
Yeah. Wow. Now, at what point did you end up starting or owning the Baskin Robbins?
The franchising is a whole new element. Going back to education, my studies, I went to schools that were research. So the last school I actually graduated. And for those who don't understand, when you're in the military, you're moving around. I forgot how many number of schools, to include University of Alabama. I was at University of Arizona for a semester, so many things. But the last one was State University of New York, Empire State College. And that school is like a research base. They want you to do a lot of writing and everything, at least when I was there. And the research that I did was in franchising, mortgage, and real estate. Those were the 3 businesses that I really researched. And so the first one I, in fact, first looked at was in 2008, was in McDonald's. And that was its own process. I can go on for that one on how that went. And then the second one was a pharmacy franchise, and so on. And so franchising definitely is its own knowledge set and skill set. And that's what led me to the Baskin Robbins franchise. And now it's more of acquisition. The business itself for the LLC is an acquisitions business to flip. And so that's where I'm at. But I definitely completely you have to know everything ins and outs of franchising, or if not, get a consultant or someone to help you, because it's its own knowledge set. It takes a while. Yeah.
And then you know, somewhere in there found time to get a master's degree, and somewhere in there found time to start your own consulting business, which then led you to travel because you had to travel to do all these consulting gigs. So you decided to open your own host agency and travel.
So I love how you explain things. I'm just like, wow, that sounds like an amazing person. Wait, you're talking about me? for the master's. I got a post back in biochemistry. Yes, I definitely could, even right now, within less than a year, earn a master's. But what that means is that I took a lot of upper division of biochemistry courses. And so based on the requirements needed, I didn't need that for a doctorate. You're asking, the travel has always been there. I continued it on and on. I mean, all over the East Coast, every time I was stationed somewhere else, just that alone fed that need and hunger for it. But it really took off more in 2015, because that's when I left the Army. And I was open, as we mentioned, restrictions, to go wherever I wanted. That's when I really, as soon as I was out, like 2 months later, I was in Costa Rica. 2 months after that, we were in all the Virgin Islands and some other Caribbean location. It just continued, but it really took off even further then. So that's what went back to the agency, was that I was already doing my own travel. I would help other people travel. And I wasn't sure what I didn't know, because if you go online and look for yourself, all those entities that you're looking through are agencies. So they're the travel agencies. So I was like, what don't I know? You know, again, going back to knowledge seeking, I'm like, I feel like I'm missing something. And sure enough, as soon as I started the licensure process and opening the entity, it was like mind blowing, all the things that I learned on top of what I already knew was travel.
Yeah.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
And so what led you to open your own host agency instead of like just signing up with somebody else's host agency?
Initially that was part ego, you know, like I want my own thing. Like I just always am used to my own thing, but
I would have never guessed that.
I mean, that part that sometimes feeds that, right? But the other part was I didn't even consider that. I wasn't like, let me look at who I can sign up with. I was just like, how do I open an agency?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making more of a joke with the ego, but definitely I didn't. That wasn't even an option that I really looked into. The big thing for me is that I had a vision, and that was to provide more for the client. And whenever you have a vision, if you're trying to align it with others, that it's going to be its own research, but you have to really do your own thing, because your vision is not always going to align. And if it's your own entity and then you're bringing people on to help, which I do have a team and contractors aside from that, you are very crystal clear on where you're going, where you're headed, what you're building, and how it's going to go.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that we talked about was that, you know, there's this pervasive attitude of basically being an employee versus being your own boss. And with your background in finances and taxes, and you had actually made a comment that really your side hustles that became full-time hustles were really all just to afford you the ability to travel. Tell me how that kind of worked out in the business arena, as you were starting all of these businesses while going to school, while being a full-time mom, while being a wife, you know, like, I mean, that's a huge amount of work.
Right. Yeah. So what it is I knew I wanted to travel, right? So even talking about the Army, which part of it was being fed by that new adventure, new travel experiences, the trajectory of decisions made, talk about tactical traveling, the trajectory is always, how am I going to make this work for travel? So the businesses, many times, what I would find is many things would say, I couldn't do it. Like if I have a brick and mortar, which I was looking at all brick and mortar building businesses, you can't actually travel. If you're in the finance industry, even, which I was, and I am like always in the financial realm, for mortgages, for instance, it would say you cannot travel. You can't make that freedom for yourself. And I would even start finding things that said, if you've seen them before, because you're around travel concepts and businesses, they try to convince you to do other businesses like blogging and making that the business, or and nothing against bloggers. I'm saying that that these other ideas were always to change entrepreneurial minds and people who are already in business to change their business focus to have that freedom. And so I didn't have a framework or blueprint because it didn't seem like everyone was saying I couldn't. And so I literally would start making ways to make it happen. To the first time, once I left active duty and was in lending, that first year I was, besides my military travels, I was traveling 4 months out of the year, and it just continued on that way. So my mindset around travel blended with my career choice, but all the career choices I've made are things I enjoy, not the other way around. I wasn't like, I want to travel, so I'm only going to do careers that allow me to travel. I was like, I want this career and I want this business, and how am I going to make it work so I can travel? How am I going to scale it? What do I need to outsource? Who do I need to bring to the team? How am I going to be more productive? How am I going to be more efficient? Everything for the trajectory of travel.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you this question because I hear it a lot. And, you know, I guess we all have these kind of people in our life, but they're kind of like, hey, when are you going to grow up and get a job and realize you just can't gallivant around the world? Do you get that still?
I actually do not. But you know what it is? People, I think when people say to grow up, it's especially something that happens in service industries, because they can't see it. Like if you have a product or again, a brick and mortar, people are like, okay, they question before they tell you to grow up. They're like, wait, do you still have that? And their mind was probably going into, oh my gosh, so you just close it just so you can travel. When are you going to grow up? Right. But I haven't gotten that. When I was only doing service related things where someone didn't see an actual brick and mortar office, the first question has continuously been, are you still doing this, this, or this? So I think the mindset would go there, but then they first check in to see, wait, well, we don't even know what she's doing, you know? So yeah, I haven't gotten that. But when we explore, more and more people just want to know how to do it themselves. You know, it's not about how I have or haven't grown up.
Right. I get it a lot. People are like, hey, when are you going to come back to reality that you just can't travel the world? And I'm like, well, if that's reality, I don't want it. You can keep it.
Yeah.
Because your life is so much better.
You know? I mean, yeah. And you've experienced, you have amazing stories. And you start, you have your three boys. I have my four girls. And I mean, your children start following those footsteps too. And everybody around you wants that. And if they more of a homebody, they still are like, oh man, they start getting the hunger and want to do adventures. Okay.
Yeah. I love that you have talked about this with your children as well. But I think whether children or adults, that some of the most significant lessons in life are learned overseas. And I even tongue in cheek joke that I don't think anybody should be allowed to vote until they go to the country that has a handle on the political system they want to vote for. That would solve a lot of problems right there. Hey, go live in that country with that political system, then you can come back and vote. And yeah. People are like, you can't do that. And I'm like, we should do that.
I feel you on that. You know, when I went to Cuba, which was right after I left the military, 2015, one of the intentions there was like, I'm going to explore their school system, the University of Havana, have an awesome medical and academic system. But what you're saying is very true, because when I went there, I love the people, but you learn one of the reasons why they're so skilled is pretty much they're made to in some way, shape, or form. And that's the route you're going to take if that's what you choose, when there is a moment to choose. You learn so much about the system you're thinking is excelling, about why it's excelling. And I'll tell you, we actually even cut our trip short because I was like, not only overwhelmed, I was like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm not proceeding here. And I didn't really enjoy it there as much as I want to. I hate to say it, because again, the people were great, many amazing experiences still, but for sure, if you go to a different country and one of the intentions when you're knowledge seeking is to see what's up, like, is this really what I want or think I'm thinking about, you will be blown away. You will be blown away about why it's not working.
That happens a lot. As we're sitting here talking, one of the things that's kind of popped in my head a couple of times is, what kind of books did you read to help you get where you're at? I'm not talking about education, but more mindset. What were the type of things that you were consuming that helped you get onto this path of time and financial freedom to basically live your life your way?
Oh, I love that question. I have read over 300 self-help books, and the first one really set the trajectory for that. It was called Well Done, and a teacher introduced it to me when I was really young, and it was about relationship building. There's several versions of it. But that book, the reason it's so amazing besides what was in it, it's that I didn't even know that there was self-development. I didn't know that that was like a certain, not just industry, I mean like that was a thing. Like I read the Bible and things like that, you know, but I didn't realize the amount of skills and how you can build your mind, rewire your mind, and reprogram different aspects of your life until I read that book. And so it's Well Done, like a whale, not Well Done, Whale Done.
Oh, Well Done.
Well Done, and there are different versions. For instance, the one that was introduced to us by that teacher was like a student type version for youngsters. There was like a parent version, a teacher's version, like, so I'm not sure about now, but that mindset really hit. Second, the reason I mentioned the Bible, and I don't want to have too spiritual, right, but definitely the reason I mention it is that I was allowed to explore religion at a very young, so I started, it wasn't just the Bible, it was other religious books. That was the only self-development that I had known of before. And so I learned how to meditate, how to pray for extensive periods of time in different modalities. And that is important because if you look at visualization, self-development at its core, many times what you're learning is to change how your habits are formed or change the trajectory of what you do. And when you're, so going back to like the first religious books and then Well Done, and then it kept going, what I was learning, I was the only religious one in my home. And what I was learning was, for instance, I'll give one example, all is possible through the higher power that, you know, I may be learning about at that moment. And when you're doing that, if you think right now, oh man, yeah, mindset things, they tell you to do affirmations. They're telling you that you think about things that are bigger than yourself, your why, all these aspects of life you can learn through religion and spirituality. And so it was a big motivator. And later, a lot of the mindset books that I did read aligned, and it kind of opened my mind on the psychological mind part and biochemical part, like, oh my goodness, no wonder, like I know without a shadow of a doubt my successes have been because I was so religious as a little girl, like that I was attracted to that for one reason or another. I was attracted to that, and part of it was saying you'll have anything is possible through XYZ. Like you were saying affirmations without realizing, because nobody taught me that, right? I went to a church and like a stranger taught me that. So yeah, there's a lot of profound mindset thing out there, and that's where it started for me.
Yeah, really great. I mean, and I agree. I actually was thinking about, because I have a degree, in Bible and theology, actually.
And, wow. So you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then the Army sent me to a sports psychology course. And then I've gotten additional coaching certifications and consulting certifications. And I actually have been toying with the idea of writing a book called The Biblical Mindset, and really describing how all of the current self-help, mindset, visualization, mental strength, success, all of those books and all of those teachings are fundamentally developed out of the scripture, not out of pop psychology, not out of any of those other things. And I've toyed with this idea for a while. I just haven't pulled the trigger on it, because the Bible says things like vision, write it down, make it plain, so whoever reads it can run with it.
Yeah.
What do we read? Self-help books, right? Write your vision down so that you can look back at it and it can guide you as you do it.
That's amazing. I would want to read that, because this didn't come up like I just had an idea, this happened. It had a lot of reflection. And what you're saying, so, I mean, like I would pray every day, right? So it would be like an affirmation, like, give me the strength to live in my faith, give me the strength, and all these things that now, like you just said, all these mindset books or like pop psychology, whatever is coming out there, at its core, if you are religious or were, you were doing that at some point.
Yep. You know, there's so many concepts, you know, and I know that not everybody listening is going to be a Christian or believe in the Bible, but the principles are the same regardless of your belief system. So I don't want people to walk away thinking that you have to believe the Bible in order for those things to happen, though I wish they would. That's not really my point. But when you think about it, you know, another one is that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And there's just all of these affirmations that really are so pivotal. And I don't think in Western culture, we really ever talk about them that much. You know, and I was even sharing with my kids that there's this crazy idea in our country that when you're a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? What are your dreams? What is it that makes your heart happy? And then somewhere around the time frame of 15, 16, 17, it's like, hey, give up on that dream crap. It's time to grow up, get a job, and go be an employee in the American, you know, revolutionary industry, you know? And I just find that stuff so antithetical to what actually the true purpose of people is. Like, I don't think that God intended us just to be somebody else's slave.
Yeah. And you know, you're hitting on something very important, because even with the consulting, though it is very logistical, strategic, when we look at everything as a whole, and it obviously has to include some of the mindset aspects of it, because you're changing how you're doing things in business to travel more, to have that freedom, to not be a slave to your own business. Like, you're making your own hours, but you're your own slave to your own business. So when you're doing that, and what you just talked about in all the different models, if you just look at marketing, demographics, if you look at strategizing for mindset, they talk about different aspects, different pillars. And I always discuss them as generalized wealth, health, spirit, and mind. And there's different things within each, from relationships to other things that people may touch on. But when you have that slave type mentality, even to your own business, you're like, I'm stuck. I can't travel. If I travel, this happens. Part of that decision-making is a state of, if you're feeling scarcity state. Why? Because maybe you are, everybody that I meet that's in this place, they are flourishing financially. Like, so their wealth bucket is full, whatever you want to call it, that pillar is full. And they feel that if they take away from that, like, oh, if I travel, I want to travel. Like, that's so empty for me. Like, I do want that. But they feel like that the only aspect of their life that is successful is going to be affected, even though travel helps your spirit, mind, and your health, even though the other bucket, they can't let go of the one place that they're not feeling scarce at, that scarcity. And the same applies for all the others. So if your spirit is low, if your mind is low, if all those things start jiving together when it comes to getting in the right mindset to pivot and start having the freedom that you want.
Yeah. Now, that's a great segue. So tell me a little bit about your consulting business, how you got started in that, and what that looks like. Because I find that to be fascinating, that here you are, and, you know, on top of everything else, you're also consulting other business owners and how to conduct business and how to really get that freedom as well.
Yeah, that was a natural way to go, because people would ask me, even if somebody, I like to snowboard. So if someone's like, hey, like I saw you went snowboarding, and majority of these people obviously were business owners and as well. And they say, I want to go. And then we try to figure out when. And because I am, my mind's constantly working and reading and all that, when I talk to somebody, it's literally natural for me to start inquiring about them, not as a judgment, just like as a, I'm curious, right? And so things started happening where these retreats were sort of formed. Like I'd be like, hey, I'm gonna invite such and such friend. And then, hey, we gotta sit down for coffee because I wanna explore that one idea we talked about. And then this happened, the very first time this started happening was in 2016. And so I did a lot of one-on-ones because essentially people wanted to know how to do it more, how to travel more, how to travel and then building the business and all these things. And I had to even put a cap, like, hey, the most is gonna be like 6 people at a time. So I started building cohorts and all that. And now it's morphed into me wanting to do it more as a group. And so that's where I'm working on now. My last cohort ended 2 weeks ago, and I haven't taken any clients on because I'm building the group model.
Nice. Now, what system are you using for the group model? Are you using like ClickFunnels? What's your kind of system that you're using to put all these people together?
So right now, to actually bring them together, we're sharing just like basic, actually. It's just getting together like on Zoom to actually do the meetups. And I have explored some of the platforms, like you just said, ClickFunnels, Kajabi, all these things to put the information on. But I haven't maxed that out yet. Why? Because one, all my businesses are brick and mortar, including the consulting. So I have never once even done anything internet related. So it's that part. And so the first thing that I'm doing to do that is building my team that is skilled in those aspects, because I can't do all of those things.
Man, it's been so good talking to you. As people are listening to this, I'm sure there's going to be people that want to travel. I'm sure there's going to be people that want, you know, help with their businesses, or just want some ice cream, or maybe they're from the 101st Airborne.
Don't want to fight me.
And they want to tell you how horrible the 82nd is. What's the best way for one of them to reach out and get in touch with you?
Yeah, they could, especially since we're talking about a travel, they can go to www.globetrothub.com. And on there's my phone number. I'm very much, I'm telling you, brick and mortar, like you can call me. It's 760-979-1741. I'm a talker and I like to talk on my phone. That's not a weird thing for me.
Yeah, right. Cool. I will put your website and your number in the podcast notes, so that as people are watching or listening to this later on, that they can reach out and get in touch with you. Do you want me to put your consulting on there too, or can they reach you through the Globetrotters as well?
Yeah, they definitely can. They definitely can do that. So the travel is Globetrot Hub, and Globetrot Pro is the consulting. So very easy to remember. And yeah, I'll definitely send those out and put a link down there.
Awesome. Well, listen, Andrea, thank you so much for your time. It was so refreshing talking to you. And I just think that people are going to get a ton of value out of this. You know, and the most important thing is the mindset. Here you are, and you've done all of these things. And even if somebody only does a quarter of what you've done in their life, they would have far more freedom than what they have right now to travel and to experience the world. So I just want to thank you because it's a great testimony and role model for people to look after.
Thank you, John. Yeah, I appreciate it. And for sure, I'm not hesitating. Like, if you have any questions on how to do that or even just anything related to that, do not hesitate to call me.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, John.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review to keep the adventure going. Stay tuned for our next episode where we'll continue to explore the world tactically. Until then, keep your itineraries tight and your travel spirits adventurous. Safe travels, and see you next time on Tactical Traveler.